when it seems like there is chaos around us, if the Lord is our vision, we know the way. We know the truth. We know the life. No matter what men might say, we will continue following the way, the truth, and the life. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans, if you would. Romans chapter 1. We have started Romans chapter 1 two or three weeks ago, and we haven't got too far, but we're still getting along. So I want to kind of refresh your memories of what we have gone over. I pray some of you are still memorizing the Word of God. Memorizing just a verse at a time, a little bit at a time. Some of you might not memorize a verse at a time. It might just be three or four words out of the verse at a time. But you know what? You add to that three or four more words, eventually you get the verse. So let me encourage you, don't get discouraged in memorizing. There are times when we can't memorize as good as we want to. I had a migraine this past week, so I had like a little bleep there. Couldn't memorize anything, but I'm not giving up. So, I encourage you, memorize Romans chapter 1, verse 1. The Word of God tells us that Paul, he is a servant of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to pause there, because what Paul's doing in writing this letter, he is giving a description of himself. And at the beginning of this letter, the first seven verses, it's kind of a lengthy introduction in how he is introducing the letter and introducing himself. And he's very strong in his theology. Matter of fact, stronger than any other letter that he has written as far as any other letter, he is the strongest in the book of Romans here. Paul is giving a view of himself. And in giving that view of himself, I want you to notice how he identifies himself. The Word of God says he is a servant of Jesus Christ. This word servant means slave. It's the Greek word doulos. Slave would be the lowest terminology back in that day and time of someone who had a position in society. If you were a slave, it was like somebody, the terminology would perfectly fit in like you would. If you've ever seen movies where they had the boats and how they moved back in that day and time, they had a galley, and down in that galley they had men that were rowing the oars. And that's about all they did was row the oars of that boat all the time. And you know what? That's a slave. It's one who is subject to another person's will. And here what we have, one who is a slave, they always have to be dependent upon their master to provide. The slave's job is very simply to be obedient unto the master, and then the master provides everything that he needs. It is a humble position that Paul is taking here. Paul is saying, I am a slave of Jesus Christ. It's the most humbling position. But you know what? If you're a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no better position than that you should be in. The Word of God tells us that even we are called to serve one another. Jesus Christ says that I have not come to be ministered unto, but to minister. And if He is our supreme example, that means we need to be called to minister to others, to serve others. That means you got to humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. He was called to serve. That means Paul was a purchased possession. The way you got slaves back in that day and time, you purchased them. And what Jesus Christ did with the Apostle Paul, He purchased him with His own blood. And therefore, he was not his own. He was bought with a price, as he told the church at Corinth. All he had, all the Apostle Paul had, belonged to another. Now, if you think about that, if you had that mindset, everything you have in life does not belong to you, it belongs to the Lord, you know what? You're not going to get upset if you lose something. You're not going to get totally upset if somebody steals something from you, because it wasn't yours in the first place, it belongs to the Lord. If your car breaks down, you know what? If it belongs to the Lord, He'll take care of it, won't He? He's your master. He's the one who provides for the slave. Jesus Christ Himself said, without Me you can do nothing. We are also his purchased possession. The Apostle Paul goes on to say, a servant of Jesus Christ called to be an apostle. The Apostle Paul was called to be an apostle. He was not a self-proclaimed apostle. He was called. Now, if you think about the calling of the Apostle Paul, you remember it's over in Acts chapter 9. And if you were to read about that calling, it is a holy calling. Because what Paul, at that time, his name was Saul, changed his name to Paul after his conversion. But when Saul was on the road to Damascus, you remember he was going as a terrorist, terrorizing Christians, persecuting them, throwing them in the jail. And the Word of God tells us that he was struck down to the earth. And he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? In other words, that voice that he heard was a holy voice. It was a holy calling coming from the Lord from heaven, calling out Saul right where he was at. And what did Saul say? He says, Who art thou, Lord? And I imagine he said that with his teeth chattering just a little bit. Because here it was not just a holy calling, it was a personal calling. The Lord knew him exactly by his name. Therefore, his calling was a holy calling. It was a personal calling. It was a very convicting calling. Because he goes on to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? In other words, he was convicted of his wrong ways and he yielded to the Lord. It was a convincing calling as he was called. Listen to what the Word of God says in verse 15 in chapter 9 of the book of Acts. But the Lord said unto him, Go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. In other words, the Lord told Ananias, whom the Lord sent Saul to, he told Ananias that Saul is going to go before kings. He's going to go before the heathen, the Gentiles. He's going to go before the people of Israel. For what purpose? To bear the name of Jesus Christ. To be a witness. In other words, Jesus Christ sent him forth. He sent him forth as an apostle. Therefore, he had the authority to go. I want you to notice as Paul describes himself a little bit further. Now, a lot of this is just review of where we've been. If you memorize verse 1, you already know this. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. God separated him unto his gospel. You know what that means? That means Paul was devoted unto the Lord. He was consecrated unto the Lord. Paul, where did he get his source from? Where did he get his authority from? Where did Paul get the grace from? It all came from the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, all that Paul had, all that involved Paul's calling, all that he was going to be, all that where he was going to go, it was all concerning his son, Jesus Christ. It all revolved around his son, God's son, Jesus Christ. The Word of God tells us that he promised it afore. By his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. In other words, the Old Testament. They foresaw, they foretold Jesus Christ is coming. He is coming. And you're to be a witness unto me and to the ends of the earth. It's all concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, which was made, the Word of God tells us, after the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God, with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. I want you to notice here in verse 3, Paul says, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. In a very general sense, in all of creation, Jesus Christ is Lord. Whether man acknowledges him or not, Jesus Christ is still Lord. If all the conservatives on the Supreme Court passed away, Jesus Christ is still Lord. He rules no matter who is sitting in authority as far as man's concerned. Jesus Christ is on the throne. He rules, He reigns. He sets down, He raises people up. But in a very specific sense, Jesus Christ is Lord to believers. He is the Savior of those who acknowledge Him as Lord. Only those who acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord do they know Him as Savior. In other words, if one says, I believe Jesus saved me, but He's not my Lord, you know what? He hadn't saved you. Because Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And if you know Him as your Lord and Savior, you know what? You bow before Him. He's your master, you're His slave. In other words, what would you have me to do, Lord? Is the same response the Apostle Paul had. The Word of God says in verses 3 and 4 that He is the God-man. He was born of the seed of David. He come from that royal lineage. And He was declared to be the Son of God. In other words, He was fully man. He was fully God. He wasn't part and part, 50-50 or 25-75. He was 100% God, 100% man. And here we have Paul presenting this just in the opening verses. And oh, how he declared with power. What power? He rose from the dead. You know what? If I saw Jesus Christ rise from the dead, I'd say He's got all authority. Whatever He says, that's it. Final word. And you know what? By faith, we believe. Therefore, He has said, Lord, what would You have me to do? He has all authority. He has all power. And then in verse 5, the Word of God tells us, after it talks about how He is both God and man, the Word of God says, by whom? Paul's saying, by whom we have received grace and apostleship to the obedience of the faith among all nations for His name. We have received grace and apostleship, what Paul's saying. Paul is saying, grace he had received. Apostleship to be sent forth. For what purpose? For the obedience to the faith among all nations. In other words, what the Apostle Paul had learned by grace, that he needed to be obedient unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and he wanted to share that with all the nations. Now, you know what? That's our mission. You know what? God has called you as a child of God for the obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. We believe in missions. We believe that the Word of God ought to go out into all the world. The Gospel of God, the Gospel concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, it needs to go into all the world. Now, you know what? You're all partakers of that. If you're a member of New Life Baptist Church, we give to missions. The reason we give to missions is because for the obedience of the faith among all nations for His name. We want God glorified. And how is God glorified? By His gospel being proclaimed to a lost and dying world. You know what? Mass media is amazing. Anybody ever follow Twitter feeds, or anybody ever follow Facebook, or you follow different media outlets? What you find when you see a Christian being bold and speaking up, I know I've seen different threads as far as following it, such as Franklin Graham, or such as Ted Cruz, who says he's a Christian, outspoken Christian, Baptist. You look at some of the things that he says, and man, some of the way the world just rails upon them and ungodliness and just wicked language. You know what? If you go forth with the gospel of Jesus Christ, you share Christ in our society today, you're going to get persecuted. You're going to get some flack. But God has called us. We are His slaves. We are the ones who, like the Apostle Paul said, Lord, what would You have me to do? And if you're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution, is what the Word of God tells us. Now, I'd like for us to move on to the next couple of verses. I want you to notice just in verses 6 and 7, because in verses 6 and 7, it tells us who is the recipients of the letter. The letter starts out by giving the signature of who's writing it. In our day and time, we put that at the end of the letter. I wonder how that is in Nepal. In Nepal, do you put your signature at the end or at the beginning? At the ending? Okay. Back in that day and time, it's at the beginning. So when you started reading the letter, you wouldn't have to look at the end of the letter to see who's writing you the letter. Right at the beginning, it tells you the name. There, Paul is writing. But then in the same greeting, what he's doing, he's addressing who he is writing to. And the Word of God says in verse 6, it gives a description of those recipients to whom Paul is writing. And notice who it says in verse 6. It says, among whom are you also the called of Jesus Christ? Among whom you are also the called of Jesus Christ. So here is one description given in the Word of God who Paul is addressing. And it is the called of Jesus Christ. Who are the called of Jesus Christ? Now I want us to think upon this for a moment. Who are the called of Jesus Christ? The call of Jesus Christ goes out in two different ways. First off, there is a general call. There is a call for the gospel to go forth, and as we share the gospel and the gospel is proclaimed, it goes out to lost people and it goes out to saved people and it goes out to everybody. The Word of God tells us we need to repent of our sins and put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody heard that. That's a general call. But there is also an effectual call that goes out from God. And that effectual call causes an effect. In other words, those are the ones that will respond to the call of Jesus Christ. Listen to what the Word of God says just over in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, down in verse 29, the Word of God says this. Now, this is from God's viewpoint. He says, for whom He foreknew, who God foreknew, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And then the Word of God says, for whom He did predestinate, that means foreordain, He's arranged it all. For whom He did predestinate, or whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. You notice the call comes in time. It comes through the gospel. And as that call comes and those respond, the Word of God says, whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. In other words, if you've been called by God, the Word of God tells me you've been justified by God. You know what? If you've been justified by God, the Word of God tells me you've already been glorified. Now, you might look at yourself and say, no, I hadn't, but God says, yes, you have. You know what? It is good as done. It is finished. The work is complete. If you have been bought with the blood of the Lamb, you're going to heaven. You belong to Him. You're His purchased possession. And you know what? There ain't nothing that can break that. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here we have been called of God. I want you to notice another passage of Scripture over in the book of 2 Thessalonians. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and listen to verse 13 as the Apostle Paul is writing there. He says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the tradition. No, verse 14, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You hear how the calling came? It came through the gospel. It came through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it was by the Spirit, through the sanctification, the setting apart of the Spirit and belief of the truth. In other words, you hear the gospel, the truth of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God pierces your heart with that truth. And you believe that truth, you grasp that truth. And you know what? That truth is what we hold on to as our hope. Christ in you is our hope of glory. Therefore, we have this hope within us. Here is an invitation being sent. The gospel invitation. And as that invitation's being sent, it's only those who accept it are the called. We see the call from God's viewpoint. But you know what we see the call from our viewpoint is when people respond to the gospel. Now, there's one description as far as of who Paul's writing to. Among whom you are also the called of Jesus Christ. And then he says, to all that be at Rome, beloved of God. Listen to how that description goes again now. Beloved of God. Who is Paul writing? He's writing to the beloved of God. Who are the beloved of God? The beloved of God are the objects that God has love for. You know who God has love for? He has love for His people. Listen to what the Word of God says over in John chapter 17. In John chapter 17, verse 23, as Jesus is praying His high priestly prayer, He says, I and them, and thou and me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that you have loved me and have loved them as you have loved me. In other words, God the Father loves you just like He loves His Son. That is powerful. You think about God's love. God is love. Let me tell you something. If you're God's child, He loves you just like He loves His Son. And you know what? That's unconditional love. It's an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31 verse 3 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. You know what? Before you were even born, He set His love on you. We were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. That's mind-boggling. How could God love me knowing all the wickedness I would do? And He'd set His love on me. Now let me turn that around. How in the world could God love you? I want you to think that. How can God love us? We are objects of His love. Paul wrote, who loved me and He sent His Son for me. Why would God do that? There goes back that one famous verse I keep referring to, and I'm going to preach on it if I'm not careful before Brother Anthony gets to it, John 3:16. For God, He's the greatest lover, so loved, that love is incomparable. For God so loved the world that He gave. Here's the greatest giver. His only begotten Son. The greatest gift. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever, and you know what? You can put your name in that whosoever if you believe in Him. Whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. Here, it shows the objects of God's love. Those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And the Word of God says, to all that be at Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. You hear what God is called? These recipients of this letter to be. He's called them to be saints. You know that word means separated, holy, set apart. Called to be saints. God did not call saints, people that were holy, to be His, to be beloved. They weren't saints. They were sinners. God set His love upon them and He's called them to be saints. As Paul was called to be an apostle, even so, we are called to be saints. God has called us with a holy calling, a particular calling. And that particular calling is to be saints. That means to be consecrated unto God, separated unto His gospel. God has called you. God has called me to be a saint. Now, I want to wrap this up by looking at verse 7. And I want you to notice it says, to all that be in Rome. Now, this here is talking about one other description of these recipients. And then I want to get into the greeting. And it's very short. I want you to notice this. To all that be at Rome. Paul is writing to those that are called of Jesus Christ. Those that are beloved. Those that are called to be saints. Those that are in Rome. You know what? Where you are is where God's called you to. If you live in Cynthiana, if you live in Nicholasville, if you live on the other side of Nicholasville, if you live in Lexington, if you live in Georgetown, if you live in Paris, if you live in Richmond, it doesn't matter where you live. Where God's called you, if you are His saints, He's called you right where you are, that you might be a witness for the obedience to the faith among all nations, for His name. Now, I want you to notice, the Word of God says, and the last little phrase there in verse 7, it's one that Paul uses quite frequently. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. What Paul does, he combines two types of greetings. These two types of greetings that Paul blends together, they are Greek and they are Hebrew. The Greek term, grace and peace, is the Hebrew term. Now, these two terms, I want you to notice, they sum up the whole gospel. Grace and peace. Now, Paul uses a little bit of a twist on the term here. You need to run back the other way, honey. Paul uses a twist on this word, grace. Because what is literally the greeting back in that day and time, in New Testament times, was kyrie. You remember, Brother Wayne will remember this, I know. Kyrie, rejoice. Well, what Paul uses the term here in the writing is charis. Not kyrie, charis. Now, the word charis is grace. You notice the words are very similar. But what Paul says in this greeting, he says, grace and peace. Shalom. That's the Hebrew thing. They even say that today. Shalom. Grace and peace. He blends these two terms together because grace is the cause of peace. Peace is the effect. Grace is the cause. What is the effect? Peace. What happens? Grace is the most characteristic term of the gospel. When you think about grace, grace is what the gospel is all about. Grace. For by grace have you been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You see, it is grace that saves us. It is grace that reaches down to man who is wallowing in his sin and in his pride, in his self-will. And that's the way we were before we trusted Christ. We were walking in our own will, walking in our own way, doing our own thing. And God, by His grace, reached down, convicted us of our sin, picked us up out of the miry clay, set our feet upon a solid rock, and we are here today to praise the Lord our God. It's because of grace that has freed us from sin, freed us from the penalty of sin, one day going to completely free us from the power of sin. It is this grace that brings us safely this far each day. And it's because of the grace of God, when you experience God's grace and what He tells us, that our sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west, that causes peace within our souls. The peace that passes understanding. The peace that floods our souls. That's what the grace of God does in the child of God's life. Paul is addressing, let me put it in modern day terms. Paul is addressing slaves. Paul is addressing the called, the beloved of God, the objects of God's love. Paul is addressing those called to be saints. Those that are in a particular place, in Rome, in Lexington, wherever we may be. God has called us. I'm going to ask you a simple question. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord? Do you know Him as Lord? If so, can you say, I am a slave of Jesus Christ? All to Him I have surrendered. I have nothing of my own. I am His. I am not my own. I am bought with a price. I am a purchased possession. He called me. He has set His love upon me. His banner over me is love. He has called me to be a saint. Can you say that sincerely in your heart? That I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. I know Him. But greater than that, He knows me. And He loves me. You notice what Paul says here. He doesn't say anything about our love for God, because what's of most importance is God's love for us. And that's the emphasis. That's who he's writing to. You know, if you know that, this letter becomes more and more personal. Are you an object of God's love? On the opposite end of that, the Word of God tells us of objects of His wrath. These are those that know not Jesus Christ as Lord. Do you know Him as your Lord and Savior? Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your marvelous grace. And what a wonder You are, and how You work in our lives. And Lord, it's so far beyond our comprehension. How You're working in all the things that are going on around us. And yet, Your Word tells us, even when we see distressing times, that You're working all things together for our good, who are the cause. Lord, we pray that You would work amazing grace even in our midst today. That You'd receive glory unto Your holy name for Christ's sake. Amen.